Pastor Jason Cooley here with OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. And I am happy today to say that it is a cold day in Minnesota, but it's warm inside. Amen, Brother Finney?
Amen.
And for a Texas guy, it's really cold in Minnesota, probably for you, isn't it, Brother Finney?
Yeah, this is about as cold as it gets in Austin, Texas.
Yep.
Now, and it's only like this, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks.
Absolutely. But it's not here. It's cold here, but we thank the Lord that it's warm inside here. I got my two-shirt flannel on here and all this stuff. And Brother Finney looks like he's getting ready for court there. He looks way better than I do today. Way more professional than I do. We appreciate Brother Finney, and I'm so grateful. I'm glad, you know, Brother Finney, I had you come on here today because I really wanted to talk about this issue for a while. You and I have been discussing this in private for, I don't know, would you say 2 or 3 years, probably? Probably 3 years at least, right? Since 2014 or 15 at least, you know?
Around 2014 sometime.
Yep.
Three plus years.
Yeah, about 3 plus years. You and I, and you've looked over these issues long before I ever have, but you know, the question comes up, and you know, you have a unique perspective, obviously, because you're an attorney, and your position that you hold on this is probably different than the vast majority of attorneys out there today. And then if you go a step further and you say Christian attorneys, which there aren't very many in my opinion, but if you go that and you say that Christian attorneys, I would say you're probably in a small percentile that actually hold this position. And I say that not because of it being wrong, but because I believe that it's the right position according to Scripture. To hold. And what we're talking about here today is it wrong for a believer to sue when his rights are violated? And what we mean by that is sue for monetary damages. You know, is it right for them to sue for money? Is it right for us to be, you know, like the world and handle things the way the world handles them? Is it right for us to do that? And, you know, I've been faced with this issue, and we've been faced as a church, Brother Finney, and we had to wade through these waters a few years back and decide how we were going to conduct ourselves and how we were going to handle ourselves in the public eye. One of the reasons for that is because we preach on the streets. You've been preaching on the streets longer than I've been saved. And, you know, you've preached on the streets for a very long time, so you've already encountered a lot of these issues and a lot of these things. But, you know, the reason it means so much to me is that I remember having somebody, many people have said to us, they falsely accuse our ministry. And Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 3, give no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. And obviously that doesn't mean that people aren't going to be offended. There's going to be offenses. They must needs come, the Bible says. But he's speaking of things that can be used that are real, that you're really guilty of, you know, that there shouldn't be any offense in the ministry like that. Well, one of the things that people accuse us of, Brother Finney, is, and I've had it happen out on the streets in Northfield and many other places, oh, you're like Westboro. You're just trying to get people mad so they hit you so you can sue them and you can make money off them. Or you can make money off the state, or you can make money suing people when they mistreat you or whatever the case may be. If you get falsely arrested, then you want to sue the police and you want to make money, and you sue tons of people and you're just out for money. Well, number one, we've never sued anybody. Okay, let's get that straight. We haven't. As a church, our church is not a legal entity. Okay, so it doesn't operate as a person. It doesn't operate as a corporation. So our church doesn't sue anybody. All right, that we understand. Secondly, as individuals, if I was, if something happened there, I have never sued anybody for monetary damages while I was out on the street serving the Lord, preaching the gospel. We don't do that, do we, Brother Finney?
Not at all.
We don't believe that's right to do. We don't believe that's, and we've had plenty of opportunities to do that over the course of the years of preaching on the streets, especially some of the crazy things we've had happen. We've had our rights violated in nearly every city. We've had them frozen, so to speak, right? Is that the term, Brother Finney, when you're or chilled? Your rights have been chilled. I've heard that term used. Is that a correct term?
Yeah, the police, not knowing the law, have tried to shut us up. But as this article points out, we give one instance. It was an opportunity for education.
Amen.
And so we did many things. We did things the Bible way. We went out of our way to let them know we didn't want to sue them. This article's been there since, let's see, when did I put this on?
2015.
Okay. It's been on there. Well, it says July 14.
Oh, yeah, that's the original one. Yep.
And I've always pointed the article out to them where we made our position known that we didn't believe in suing for punitive or compensatory damages. Now, punitive means, you know, one meaning is punishment. One meaning of vengeance is punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Punitive damages are damages meant to punish, meant to take vengeance on somebody. We don't believe in that according to the scriptures we've given in this article.
Amen. And here's,
and they appreciate that.
Yes, they do. Because, see, then they know these guys aren't troublemakers in the sense of they're not trying to make money. They're not out there trying to make a free buck off of somebody. We're not Westboro. I'm going to sue you now, and I'm going to make some money and get you in court and all this. I don't really care about that because God is the one that provides our money for us and takes care of us. You know, I don't have any desire to go out on the streets and stir up a commotion to get a lawsuit against somebody and, you know, have that happen. And we prove that over and over again. We've been assaulted by people on the streets. We have been literally assaulted by people on the streets, you know, during preaching. You know, but at the same time, we have never said, you know what, we're seeking. I remember a year ago, I had to have a man arrested because he just would not stop. He got abusive and he got physical and he started breaking our banners, breaking stuff down. We had to detain him, you know, and place him under citizen's arrest.
Yeah. And again, we looked up the law, citizen's arrest is and should be okay with man's law, because if a person is committing evil and doing damage and there's no policeman immediately around, he has to be restrained, and then you turn him over to civil government. And that's the purpose of civil government, is to punish evildoers.
And it's funny because I remember the police said, I remember it was like the police said, they asked us, well, what do you want us to do with him? And I was like, that's up to you. And he's like, no, that's up to you. He said, you placed him under arrest. You need to tell us what you want us to do with him. And we opted for him to go to a mental hospital or the hospital and get some rest because he wasn't doing very well, the man. And we didn't want to see anything bad happen to him. He needed to get off the streets and get some help. He was probably on drugs and all kinds of other things. We certainly didn't seek any vengeance or want to sue him or anything like that. We want to see him helped. I had it happen another time, another guy, the same thing, you know. But, you know, in all that, my point is to say this, is we know we have a real life situations that come up. We encounter the public, you know, when we go out to preach on the streets, we encounter evil all the time out there. So we're not. Go ahead, brother.
One little incident to that, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
One time years ago, a man actually assaulted me. It wasn't a serious assault. And then he started to leave, and the police had watched the whole incident. They approached him, and he said, I assaulted him. And the policeman said, I saw it all. You assaulted him. And the policeman came over and said, do you want to file charges? I said, no, he didn't hurt me. We just come out here to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to cause any harm. Now, if he had actually physically done something really bad, probably they wouldn't even have asked me.
They would have just filed. Arrested. Yeah. Yep. And that just shows you that shows you a system, that shows you a pattern for us. I can go way back into 4 or 5 years ago, also this ministry that we, you know, 3 or 4 years ago or whatever, when we started, I think it was 2012, we started on the streets. But I can't remember now. It's been so many – time flies by. But we have no desire to hurt people out there or to antagonize people to the point that they get angry. We've had mistakes in our ministry. We had people here that left here. One of the reasons – now, they were aggressive street preachers, and they left here. And one of the men in particular left here, and he left here because he didn't agree with our philosophy. He wanted to sue people for money. He wanted to sue the state for money. And also, he was very abusive in his language and unchristian-like. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to represent Christ, you don't start screaming at cops, and you don't start arguments with police like that. You're very respectful. Every time I've dealt with police on the streets, listen, God has always honored it. And those police, even some of them that weren't that nice, and I've got some that were extremely wrong. A case in Farmington I had where that police officer was definitely, but I didn't lose my respect for him. I stayed respectful to him. I respectfully disagreed with him and told him he was wrong. And I would take the consequences, whatever those may be, but he was proven wrong. And then he walked away and he left, and his boss told him that he was wrong. But
and that's the thing, the police, their job, it's right in the law. Their job in these instances is to protect the speaker.
Yep.
That is their job. As long as the speaker is not out of line, their job is to protect the speaker, not to help the hecklers.
Amen. That's right. Absolutely. That's correct.
The thing is, a lot of times they don't know the law. They've never seen a situation like that. And they're using their best instincts, and they haven't been educated as to what the law is on these matters, because nobody is doing God's work out there on the streets.
That's right. And that's the shame to most of the churches out there. The reason why these police departments in Minnesota had no idea, and we part of our ministry, like Brother Finney says, is to educate people. We spent a lot of time, a lot of footwork behind the scenes. Look, we weren't looking to be antagonistic just to argue with people and to say, I know my rights, you loser police. You know, this is, we don't do that. We never did that. In representing Christ, what we did was we said, you know what? We're going to first take the approach to educate people. We're going to educate the city. We're going to educate the city attorney. We're going to educate. Well, we didn't say, no, we didn't even file injunctions right away and do any of those other things. What we did was, is we taught them. We taught them what the truth was of the law. And we made them come to the grips with the fact that, listen, this is 100% legal. It is our God-given right, recognized by the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. And you're not going to be able to trump that law by some flimsy little city ordinance that has nothing to do with that tries to usurp the First Amendment. It didn't work.
It's very clear, for example, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, that we're to pray for all men.
Amen. Go ahead and read that, brother. Prayers,
giving of thanks. Why? That we can live a quiet and peaceful life. And also, if you see verse 4, that all men, God would have all men to be saved.
Amen.
And to come into the knowledge of the truth.
Right. You know, we've seen it, and we're not going to mention any people or any names, but we've seen some people go to court, and the record of what they said to those police was played out, and it brought shame to the cause of Christ. And I believe that's the reason why God did not honor them, and they were found guilty, or they didn't get what they wanted either way. And I believe the reason for the problem, the struggle, is that if your spirit is not right when you're defending yourself out there and you're dealing with things, if your spirit is wrong, if you got a bad spirit, you think you can talk to police any way you want to and talk to people any way you want to like that? You know, one of the reasons why this, you're going to find out that God's not going to honor that. God's not going to honor that activity, that attitude.
God's not going to honor it, and you're hurting your cause in the courts and in the world because even if you were technically right on some matters, I know from years of experience in appeals and things like that, that even if you're technically right, if you've got a bad case in what you might say equity, even that might not enter into it, in what's right, you know, in what's obviously right and wrong, if you've got a bad case, mm-hmm. those judges can use their creativity and the creativity of their staff writers and so forth to come to the conclusion they want to come to. And hence you have bad law in a number of ways in the books.
Right.
One way being for the cause of Christ, you have bad law.
Yep. And you know, here's the other thing too with that is that these people that do that, you know, we've had a lot of accusations thrown at us over the years from sinners on the streets and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? We have a good relationship with all the police we've ever dealt with.
So, amen. They protect us now.
Yeah, and when I see all the cop hate that goes on out there, I know there's crooked cops and there's crooked lawyers and there's crooked Christians and there's crooked priests and pastors and there's crooked all kinds of, okay? We all know that, okay? But I will say this. I've had the police save my bacon many times out there from people that wanted to harm us. And they did their job and they did it correctly. So
police have a hard job.
Yes, they do. I wouldn't want it for anything. I understand dealing with people, just dealing with domestic issues as a pastor and dealing with people. I can't imagine the amount of garbage that the police have to go through to deal with some of these things. It's just phenomenal. Anyway, but I won't stay too long on that. But the point is that we've experienced some of these things. We've been through them. So we're not speaking as novices when it comes to understanding how to deal with these issues. We've been through them. So we've been tested. Hey, could we sue for money in this case? Yeah, there's a few of them we could have. You know, there sure is a few.
If we had let it play out, just gone out there.
Right.
It's obvious if we hadn't interacted with these people in advance, they would have arrested one or more of us. And then we would have had a basis for a suit.
Right. That's all we were waiting for is it to file an injunction or something is for an arrest to take place. Otherwise, we wouldn't file an injunction. And that's not for money either. That's to stop federally, have them stop doing what they're doing. That's not to make money.
And there's another aspect to it, and that is that we want to use our time and effort in getting out the gospel. When you get entangled with court suits,
yep.
You have to spend a lot of time and energy if you want to pursue that properly.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, we wouldn't even have sued for punitive damages, but any kind of suit, a suit for injunction, a suit for actual damages, whatever, takes a lot of time and energy. And God wants us to use our time and energy in ways that glorify Him, we believe.
Amen. And not to be spending it that. So that's why we always waited to file an injunction and not to sue anybody or try to make money or go through those. We weren't trying to do any of those things.
Amen.
No, we just wanted our right. We wanted it to be recognized that we have a right, according to God, to preach the gospel in the open air without being molested, without being stopped, without being harmed in any way. So we did that, and that's the method we followed. So, you know, that gives you a background kind of why we came to this conclusion. Well, then Brother Finney and I, we talked a lot, and he already had a position on that. And I guess just from my understanding, the Lord just brought us together to clarify and be like, okay, well, when you brought this to me first and said, what do you think? I'm like, well, I can't see any way around it. I mean, I don't think we're supposed to be suing people for money. I don't think that's what God wants us to do at all. And, you know, when you throw that off the table, you know what you do? You throw all the personal gain off of the table. Yeah. And you surrender it to God. And then people know, hey, no, I'm doing this for the glory of God. I'm not saying my other brothers that believe it's okay to sue this are not doing it for that purpose, but I'm saying, there's no offense that the ministry can be blamed. You can't say, oh, you guys are just making money. Like Abraham with the king of Sodom, like you mentioned in here, Abraham said he wouldn't take anything from that king of Sodom. And he said the reason he wouldn't take anything from that king of Sodom is because he didn't want them to say that he made God, that he made Abraham rich.
Amen.
And that's the same thing for the church. You know what? We don't want anybody saying that the world made us rich, that we needed their money to be able to survive. We don't take tax-exempt status. We're not 501c3. We don't ask the government for favors because we don't believe in that.
Amen.
We believe in honoring God and following the Lord Jesus Christ and him being the head of the church, not the state being the head of the church. So, you know, we came to that conclusion. Now, Brother Finney, you've had some experience with other pastors, and we're not going to mention any names, good, God-fearing, holy men, I believe, that love the Lord, that are not in agreement with us on this issue. And some of them, you know, you met them at different meetings and different things, and their comments to you, really, they had no defense for what they were standing for. It's okay to sue, and they talked about how people respected them after they got money from them, then they respected them. I don't think that's the kind of respect you want. You're saying that these people fear you because you're going to get money from them if they don't. I'm not so sure that's the kind of respect we want from people as Christians. But we want people that we want them to be held accountable. The law, the government, whoever, held accountable to God's law and held accountable for what they do and to abide by their own laws. You know, but we don't want them to fear, oh, great, if I say something wrong to this preacher. You know, that's the world. We see that everywhere. If you say something wrong, man, somebody wants to sue you out there. If you do something wrong, somebody wants to sue you out there. That ought not be the saints of God. That ought not be our experience with people, is that, oh, well, they're just, because I dispelled that. That's why we dispelled that whole thing with people on the street when they say, oh, you're like Westboro. No, we're not. We don't sue people for money. We don't make any money off anybody.
No. And the thing is, I doubt if Westboro seriously considered these issues biblically, a lot of issues biblically. They are so off base, and yet they're looked at to be representative of people who believe the Bible.
Right, exactly, which is totally false. You know, it's a false assumption.
Even those who are to a lesser degree, you know, going against the principles in the Word of God. And it's basically because, man, even most fundamental Baptists still look at a lot of things from a temporal, material point of view. They look at man's law and case law, but they never go to the Bible for principles.
Right.
I don't know if a lot of pastors understand that there are principles in the Bible. Like, I've had more than one say to me, well, the Bible doesn't say that a church cannot incorporate. Well, if you go to the Bible and study the principles in the New Testament for a church, and then study what incorporation really is. Yep. Not all the fancy language you put in your constitution to dress it up and make it look like it's honoring the Lord, but what it actually is, and you compare what it is and what it does to Bible principle, then you know that 501c3, and if you study that, and incorporation, violate very important biblical principles. The same way on this.
Mm-hmm.
There are principles.
And that's like your sermon. That's a mature believer that wants to see not only just thus saith the Lord, but Bible principles that are illustrated throughout the scriptures.
Well, yeah. When I went to law school, we had to study in depth. The children of this world are many times, for worldly matters, wiser than the children of our Lord, because in worldly matters, in the legal system, for example, you find tremendous amount of communication and debate on issues that go in depth on those issues. And yet, believers, especially in the fundamental Baptist ranks,
mm-hmm.
are very shallow.
Very. They can't defend their faith. They don't know what it is. And they can't explain anything to anybody. And that's why the Bible says, my people are destroyed all the day long for lack of knowledge.
They start with an answer, and that's the answer. And there's going to be no looking into a matter from a Bible point of view, because That's the tradition.
Yep. Amen. All right. Well, let's get into this. I want to, and we'll finish up with your 3 points at the end of this, but I want to get into these scriptures. Let's get into the Bible here. Why we believe that it's not right for a believer to sue for financial damages if their First Amendment rights, financial, you know, vengeance or pain and suffering or any of those things. Why we do not believe it's right to do that. And the first verses you have here are Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 through 12. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets were before you. Now, you know, those verses indicate a lot of things. I have a sermon that I preached a few weeks ago called How to Treat Your Enemies. And I think you've linked it somewhere on your website. You know, how God wants us to treat our enemies. And, you know, he says here, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You know what? If you're out there and you get persecuted for righteousness' sake, listen, friend, if you're going to get arrested for preaching the gospel in the streets, could you please not start screaming and hollering and acting like a fool? If you're at the point that you're going to be detained, then you put it in the Lord's hands. You don't resist it. You just turn, put the cuffs, let them put the cuffs on you if they have to, do whatever they have to do and take you in. Okay? Your fight is not there. Your fight will be in a courtroom somewhere. But once they put their hand on your shoulder and say you're under arrest or you're being detained or whatever the case may be, then you know what? Then just go with them. This is,
Pastor,
yep.
That sermon is linked to at the top of this article.
Okay. Okay. Cause that, you know, that's important. It's important to understand how to treat your enemies. It's important to understand, you know what, when you're being arrested or being detained or whatever the case may be, that you have the right spirit about it. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. The Bible says we're to rejoice. We're not to be down about that, but thank God the apostles did that. You know, Jesus went on to say, you have heard that it's been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right, thy right cheek, turn to thee him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. So you know what? It says here that they're suing you. You're not suing them. You see the point there? Amen. Jesus is recognizing the injustice of people against his people. He's saying there's going to be people that are going to sue you like that.
Yeah.
Do you see that? But it's not you that's doing that. It's them doing that to you.
Yeah.
You know?
The word of God isn't easy sometimes.
No, it isn't. It's not fun. I'll tell you what, when I study this, how to treat your enemies, it goes right along with all of this. And persecution and deal with all that, it's like, man, that's really hard. But that's where love is tested, friend. Your love for God is tested when things are hard, not when things are easy. You know? That's Amen. The thing. That's when that true love is tested.
Amen.
And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. You've heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. You don't start pronouncing judgment down on the... I mean, I've heard street preachers out there. I've had to correct them. They're no longer here because they didn't want to do right with God. But I've heard street preachers say, I hope that bar burns down, bless God. I hope this... You know, quit talking like that.
Well, you know what, Pastor? I think the reason for that is they say, well, this was regarding the kingdom age. It's hyper-dispensationalism.
Yep, it is.
But it's repeated, as you'll get into, in the epistles. It's principles also that are apply across the board.
That's right. It's not trying to get out of something to think, well, this is the easiest way. Paul illustrated this all the way through. Jesus illustrated, obviously, the apostles. Okay, let's move on here. We'll keep reading. But I say, and you love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, brother, if you were arrested wrongfully for preaching the word of God in the open air and you were taken into the jailhouse and they falsely arrested you and it was proven, Are they persecuting you? Yes, they are. That's persecution. Now, they're your enemy at that point, right?
Amen.
That doesn't mean I hate them because I'm to love my enemies, okay? But they take me in and they arrest me falsely. Now, I have a decision to make. Either I bless them that persecute me, or I try to squeeze every drop of money I can out of them, or I try to sue them and make money off of that, you know, emotional distress. Well, you're the Bible says casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
Yeah.
A few dollars in your pocket isn't going to make emotional stress go away.
I think a lot of people, too, go back to the Old Testament, you know, and use verses out of the Old Testament. But I believe if you study it out in the Old Testament, like you and your sermon mentioned some verses out of the Old Testament. God's people had rules back then too regarding these matters.
Well, they did. If someone stole from you, you were allowed to sue them, and by the law, they had to pay back fourfold. That was God's law.
Yeah.
But that's when somebody has stolen from you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was for the theocracy of Israel.
Right.
You know, as well. Those laws, of course, many of those laws were written in men's hearts. Romans 2, their conscience. The Gentiles have knowledge of a lot of what's right and wrong, but they were never given the law, and that's another subject.
Amen.
They were never given the law. We have a higher law throughout the as you preached on.
The law of Christ.
We have many more commandments to follow.
Yeah, we do. Ephesians are full of them.
Yeah.
But that's another topic for another day there. Be therefore perfect, he said. Oh, if you love them which love you, right?
Right.
What reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? Those are them dirty old tax collectors.
Yeah.
So he's talking about there. And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And then you go to Matthew chapter 6, verse number 8 through 15. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You think about that. It's showing forgiveness there to say, you know what? I'm not going to seek vengeance against these people. You know, I'm not going to seek vengeance against these people because they've done me wrong, but I'm going to pray for them.
Amen.
You know, I'm not going to try to sue them. I'm not like the lady at McDonald's that, you know, I guess her coffee was too hot and she sued him for millions of dollars. You know, I know that's a different matter because it's in a private sector, but you really have to ask yourself as a Christian, is that really an honorable thing to do? You know
Amen.
What I mean?
Amen.
You know, there's things that I have to question. Now, if somebody hurts you physically, the Bible talks about that, you know, about dealing with that physically. If you're marred and there's a ways to sue for those kind of things.
But well, yeah, and there's a criminal law that takes vengeance. And that's legitimate. That's within the legitimate jurisdiction of civil government is to take vengeance against evildoers, control evil.
Yep. Amen. That's right, brother. So we see it in Luke here. Again, more verses. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good. Luke chapter 6, verse 27 through 46. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. That would include law enforcement and those other people. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. So he goes on to continue to explain these verses. If you lend to them which have hope, whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? Right? Let's skip down to chapter number 9 here. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and set messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Even as Elias did. But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. You know, these apostles, they wanted vengeance. And Jesus said, no, this is a day and age of grace and mercy. And the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm here to see people saved. I'm not here to destroy them. You know, I'm not here to go preach the gospel in the open air to make a buck, to turn a buck on somebody that arrests me.
Yeah, and look at the change in the apostles after the Holy Spirit came down, and the church was, you know, and the church was already there, but the church began to take form more fully. And then you go into the epistles, they had completely changed their outlook, and they still applied it. So that goes, there goes that hyper-dispensational argument that, well, that was just for the kingdom, you see. Uh-huh. And those verses that I have online that go into some of the verses that deal with what the apostles then began to write.
Yep, and look at Romans chapter 8, verse number 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You know, that's, God allows things to happen to us, and I was just preaching about that last night. You know, though, God allows things to happen to us for a reason, for a purpose, and he works at all things together for his purpose and his will. Romans chapter 12, verse number 9, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business. See, these are all commands, by the way.
Amen.
You see these? These are all commands. Not, this
they're not suggestions,
the
are they?
What's that?
They're not suggestions.
No, they're commands. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, amen, patient in those trials to serve the Lord, continuing instant in prayer, distributed to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you. Whoop, where'd Paul get that from?
Amen.
Same law, right? Bless amen. Them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Amen. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Yeah, you know, that's it. We live peaceably, right?
Amen.
And he's not done yet. If that wasn't hard enough, brother.
Amen.
He says, you know, he says above, he says, recompense no man evil for evil. You know, we just talked about that, but provide things honest inside of all men. Look at this. Dear the beloved, avenge not yourselves. You know, when I try to seek monetary damage, I'm not talking about actual damages. We just talked about that. We think that it's right, you know, or can be in certain circumstances. You don't have to, but can be in certain circumstances. If you have a great loss of income and you can't make money and feed your family, it's probably okay to do that, you know, to get back the money that you've lost because you've had to, you know, because you have suffered and wrongfully for this case. But it says here, avenge not yourselves.
Amen.
Not to look to make money. Well, now I'm going to sue you for more money. I'm going to sue you for $100,000. Well, you didn't lose $100,000 going out and preaching the gospel on the street.
Amen.
So, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. How about that? If he thirsts, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Then Romans chapter 13, very important chapter here. God's command of the believer concerning his acts toward his neighbor in the context of civil government and its jurisdiction. You know, when we talk about Romans chapter 13, he says what the law is to cover and what it's important to do. These verses say nothing about the believer's relationship to God in that context. He says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. You know, we're not to be looking for a war with the police, you know, to make money or with the state or the city that wrongs us. You know, that's not what we're supposed to be doing. That's not what God commanded us to do. These are biblical principles. Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So again, another principle laid down there of, you know, how we're to conduct ourselves.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians 5:15, see that that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good among yourselves and to all men. Man, you know, there's a lot of scriptures here that tell us, that give us the principles that, you know what, we're not to, you know, the last thing that God wants us to do is keep an argument going. You know, we're to be, the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers.
Amen.
You know, a lot of these preachers, I see them tied up in litigation, street preachers and others, that their rights are violated. I see them tied up into courts, tied up into lawsuits, and tied up into all these other things for years and years and years. And it's a distraction is what it is.
It is.
What we have always tried to do, and I've talked to other street preachers, they've asked my advice over the last couple of years about different things and legal matters and things like that. And then, well, how do you handle this concerning this issue? And I say, really, honestly, I try not to let it get to that point.
Amen.
I try to avoid that. No, I don't stop preaching, and no, I don't let off my message, and no, I don't. But sometimes I compromise a position, not doctrinally, but like logistically speaking, when I'm out there preaching where I'm at. You know, sometimes I'll move if the police say, hey, could you move over here or something like that. A lot of times I will. But I also try to place myself in a place, in a position to where I'm not directly over the people I'm preaching to, in a sense that I'm crowding things out and causing a crowd control problem for the police. I've had guys here before in this ministry that wanted to go right in the middle of the crowds. They went right in the middle of the crowds. And they put themselves in danger. They put the police in a predicament. And did they have the right to do it? Yeah. You know, sure they did. But was it expedient for them to do it? No, it wasn't. Most of the confrontations that the people that I've seen brethren have out there in street preaching situations and things like that are self-inflicted.
Yeah, and they're self-inflicted against the principles in the Word of God in many ways. And it would be all right if they were self-inflicted, if in fact they were in line with biblical principle.
Right, but a lot of times they're just antagonistic for the sake of being antagonistic.
Yeah, they're not using their biblical, they're not studying the Word of God about these issues.
Right, amen.
And make it, you know, they, like the one pastor, you know, preached a sermon, I tell about it in this article, to explain why they do that to me and why it was biblical, really didn't use the Bible. He had one main verse. It was out of Jude there, occupy until they come. But if I remember correctly, that verse is regarding what you're doing with apostates and false teachers that are coming into the church. And it's completely inapplicable to the situations we're talking about, Pastor.
Right. And these reproaches, I believe they bring a reproach to Christ's name when people get to the point where they think they got to make money and sue and get into people's pocketbooks and all this other stuff. You know?
Yeah, we're, again, and it talks a little about this in the article, the epistles especially speak a lot about this spiritual warfare and the methodology we're to use and so forth, and it's all spiritual. But when you get to thinking like that, you're thinking in strictly worldly terms. You're thinking in the flesh.
Yep. Absolutely. Amen.
You're walking in the flesh, not in the spirit.
Right, right. Amen. You're trying to be more of an American than you are a Christian.
Amen.
You know, in that sense. Our Baptist forefathers, they stood up for their liberty and their rights to speak, but they weren't trying to make money at it.
Amen. And I think you'll have a whole lot more joy. These people that go out there with a vindictive, hateful attitude, you can see it in their spirit.
Yep, absolutely.
It creates the wrong atmosphere. It's not a godly atmosphere, even though, you know, I mean, from their side, it's a vengeful, hateful, authoritative position they put themselves in.
Yep. Yep. Amen. Amen. All right. The Bible goes on to say, it talks about, if this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Talks about the bishop, there must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. You know, it talks about a man knowing how to rule well his own house. You know, Amen. He must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil. Since pastors should be going into the world preaching the gospel, and since they may encounter violations of their civil rights, they should be aware that they are held to an even higher standard than other believers. You know, God's watching how they interact with other people and how they interact with the police and everything else. The Lord is watching that, and other people are watching that. Amen. That's the one thing. I've had a lot of false accusations thrown at me, you know, over the years, but the police have always had a good relationship with us. You know, after a few things, you know, after a few times of dealing with some things, the Northfield police, any of the police, because we've always respected them and we've always tried to deal with them according to biblical mandate, you know, loving them and being kind to them and respecting their office that they have to hold to. You know, the Bible says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me of his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 12. We're going to suffer this. You go on to, you made some notes here, Brother Finney. It says contextually, when Paul speaks of believers suffering persecution, he means that they will suffer, not fight persecution. Of course, Paul argued within the legal system when falsely accused of crime. He appealed to Rome as a Roman citizen and argued that the facts showed that he was not guilty. He did not have the civil rights given Americans in the Constitution, so one must go deeper into relevant biblical doctrine to see God's limits on one's method as he enters the civil as opposed to criminal law, right? It's an interesting point that you make there because, you know, Paul did use his rights as a citizen just like we do. We use the First Amendment. We tell people, police, that we have a First Amendment right, you know, and we know that it is legal for us to do this, and we know that it's right for us to do this.
And when we do that, Pastor, there's another thing. I always pointed them to the history of the First Amendment. Now, it's the religious history of the First Amendment.
Right.
I think most Christians don't know, but if they read it, they understood why we have these rights.
Yep.
It was due to the blood of millions upon millions martyrs for Christ.
Absolutely.
And that persecution continued in the colonies, which is not widely taught by Christian revisionist history.
Not at all.
And so they get an education. And so it gives us a chance because when they look at that blood that was shed, they go all the way back to John the Baptist, Christ, the apostles, all the believers down through the ages.
Amen.
Hopefully it makes them think, what did they have that made them want willing to give their blood to suffer horrible deaths What did they have?
Amen. Amen. That's right. They have the Spirit of Christ.
Amen.
You know, the Bible talks about, and you mentioned here, another verse here, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits without partiality. You know, here's one of the things I want to say to you, to people out there too. Don't think that Brother Finney and I in Old Paths Baptist Church just simply rolled over because the law told us that we couldn't preach somewhere. No, on the contrary, we preached there anyway. And we were respectful, and we made a lot of communication, which I'm going to link the article here and show you all the steps that we went through to talk to the police and the city and the attorneys and everybody else. So they understood that, hey, we're going to keep coming back. Whether you arrest us or not, we're going to keep coming back. But our goal for doing that is not to make money off you. Our goal is not to sue you so we make money. Our goal is to honor God and to preach the word of God because we've been called to do so.
In fact, Pastor, this article was online, and I think at times I referred them to it, but they knew that we would not sue for punitive damages.
Amen. Amen. They understood that. They understood where we were, and that helped the conversation a lot. Because really what it did was it showed them, these guys, they're not trying to make frivolous money or waste the police time, you know. Yeah,
and they're respecting our authority. They're presenting us with, they're trying to avoid litigation by showing us where we lose.
Right, and we've even said that. We said that to many police. Look, we don't want to go to court. We know you're going to end up paying the court fees if you go to court and our lawyer fees, and we don't want to do that. We'd rather take care of it outside of court and just be able to express our First Amendment rights and not have them violated. And that's our goal. That's what we want to do. We want to do that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, or verse number 15 says this, "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." And we've had a lot of people accuse us of things. And because we handled things the biblical way with this issue, it put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. It really did, you know. "As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. For what glory is it when you be buffeted for your faults? You shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. But if you suffer for righteousness' sake," in chapter number 3, "happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, that you may be they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." Amen.
Amen.
So these scriptures, we believe, illustrate and show to us that our motives need to be, number one, to honor God, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to see lost sinners saved. But also, you know, we don't believe there's a scriptural mandate for us to go out there and sue for pain and suffering and all these other things, you know. Actual damages is another thing, you know, if you lost money working on. But, you know, with this issue, we think that there is no bragging rights to doing this. Is there anything else you'd like to add to this, Brother Finney, this scriptural argument about this, things that maybe I forgot to mention or anything like that, that really kind of illustrates our position on this?
Not really, Pastor, except one thing. If you read your Bible, if you start looking for verses that deal with this, there are a lot more verses. And if you walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, that's very important, to walk in the Spirit. We're dealing with spiritual matters. We've mentioned this.
Now, in closing, let me ask you this. You have run across pastors that have sued for money. Did they talk about, like, how much money they got out of that, or what they were trying to accomplish by suing for that, for the cash or whatever, and all that kind of stuff?
Well, it's generally in Christian literature, the mainline Christian literature, and the quote-unquote Christian magazines, newsletters and so forth, as well as broadcast, all emphasize, and a lot of times give, how much was recovered in punitive damages. Now, I've talked to one pastor who actually said they got $25,000 in punitive damages. A man I love, still love, he's passed away now, but I had the greatest of respect for. It doesn't mean I don't love people who disagree with me on this. We love them. We think they're wrong. We think they're not looking deeper into the Word of God and doing things God's way, but we love them. But we love our Lord more than we love them.
Amen.
And when God brings an issue, when God brought this issue to my attention back in 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, somewhere along there, is the first time I announced in a meeting that was attended by quite a few fundamental Baptist pastors, some of who still don't like my position on this. They do not like it at all. But they've never shown me where I'm wrong, and I don't think they've even ever read my article, and I don't think they listened to what I had to say. I didn't develop it near as much in my comments. It was a side issue.
Right.
This is the thing. I know a lot of what I say creates division, but it's not against biblical principle to create division if what you are asserting is based upon truths out of the Word of God. Paul said, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? Look at his persecutions. Look at his suffering. Look at those followers of Christ who abandoned him.
Amen.
So I could be furthering my worldly goals a whole lot more right now if I just left out a lot of issues that I come across that are not even involved with the primary issues, aside from witnessing and so forth, but the primary issues God has called me specifically to address, which is keeping a church a spiritual entity only,
amen,
not from under civil government. But you come across many things as you study the Word of God, and if God lays it on your heart, it's not to be, well, I'm going to lose the support of these pastors, and these pastors are not going to like me, and these people are not going to like me, these people in the world are not going to like me, and so forth. When you start just following the Lord, and listen, I'm not an example for anyone to follow, but if I proclaim a truth that's out of the Word of God that's important, my concern is not, well, I'm going to lose the praise and so forth, the support of pastors.
Mm-hmm.
So what?
Amen.
Am I right or wrong? If I'm wrong, I'll repent.
Amen.
But I would be betraying my Lord if I didn't do what he called me.
That's right, brother.
Called me to do, you know, and it's small. Very few people are concerned about what I have to say, but I still have to answer to God, as you do, Pastor.
Amen.
As a pastor.
That's right.
And so we're not, listen, some people misunderstand us, misunderstand you, because you stand on the Word of God. You bring out issues that all pastors should be dealing with. And you don't do it because you hate them. You do it because you love the Word of God and you love the Lord.
Amen. And I want God's people to be right. I want us to be right about things. I want us to have the right walk and the right spirit, and I want us to know the truth. And because people are in darkness and they don't know the truth.
And false teaching permeates Facebook and online
everywhere. Sources.
And so are we just say, well, our responsibility is only to our church, and you should keep your mouth shut about all these heretical and apostate teachings that are going out. I think the Bible says we're to go into all the world. That's the thing. We're to go into the world. We're concerned with doctrine in the church, and we're concerned with proclaiming the church, the word of God outside the walls of the church, primarily salvation. But we're like First Baptist of Hammond. Well, that's their church. Well, they train pastors from all over the nation. The
world, yeah.
They put their beliefs, they're followed. So we're not to make known the truth. It's all over the country. It's not held in their church.
That's right.
Amen. That's about all I can think of, Pastor.
Amen. Well, God bless you, Brother Finney. I appreciate this. And if people want to look more into this issue, they can go to geraldfinney.wordpress.com. And for a host of articles on 501c3, on church state law, separation of church and state law, you know, there's so many articles here, so many sermons here, so many resources here. You could spend days and weeks and months and years on this website learning and growing from the things that are here, and I would encourage you to do so. I'll put the link in the description on – actually, it's in all our videos. All of our videos have a link to geraldfinney.wordpress.com. All of our YouTube videos do, and our sermon audio page. I'll make sure that gets on there, and I'd like to list that article on there, and I'll get that listed, this article listed on there for more information of how we dealt with the police. Maybe you're a street preacher and you don't know how to deal with the police. Well, let us help you. We'd like to help you deal with the police in a proper way and show you how we did it. And if we can, you know, be a blessing to encourage you, to help you along the way, we'd love to do that. All right. And more importantly than all of that is this. If you are lost and you have never been born again and you stumbled across this teaching for some reason, you're looking around, maybe you don't even like me and you found my name and you wanted to see what in the world I was all about. Well, if you've listened to that, if you've gotten that far down the line here of this sermon, let me say this to you. Let me say this to you. You need to be saved. You need to be forgiven of your sins. You're a sinner before God and you're guilty before God. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus died on an old rugged cross for your sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day. And if you'll repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you'll turn from your sin, turn to God, turn to Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can save you. You see, I can't stop sinning. We know you can't. You don't have the power to. You don't have the power to. Only Jesus has that power. And if you'll turn to him, Jesus will save your soul. If you'll believe the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, and call upon his name, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll do that, he'll save you today, and he'll change your life and make you a new creature, and your life will honor God. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You'll have a new family. You'll have a new life. And the Lord Jesus Christ will do mighty works in your life in the years to come. And he'll save your soul from the hell that you deserve and that I deserve. And he'll give you a home in heaven with him for all of eternity. When you die, you'll open your eyes up to be with the Lord. Amen. All right. Anyway, Brother Finney, I think that's it. But for Brother Finney, attorney Brother Gerald Finney, and Pastor Cooley here, OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota.